Hi, family. I'm an addict named Hadia.
Hi.
They've asked me to read the speaker statement first. The NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there is the possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories, because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. Praise God. I'm an addict named Hadia.
Amen.
And it is truly, truly, by God's grace, an undeserving mercy that I stand before you today. I'm so thankful for this program of Narcotics Anonymous for saving my life. I want to thank CPR CNA 2020. For asking me to share. I'll do anything for NA, because NA saved my life. And when I got the call on February 17th, and they asked me to share, I was like, sure. I love Narcotics Anonymous. Sure. And they gave me a topic. And they told me relationships, hostage ship, battleships. I didn't get the verses until the letter came. And I was like, oh, this is a joke. This is a joke. They got jokes. I haven't personally gone to a relationship meeting in about 4 years at conventions. And I remember being well excited about them in early recovery, because that's where all the sick people would be. So I was there, not too close, so I could check out everybody coming in and, you know, do my little thing. And then immediately, you know, reality kicked in for me. My clean date, you know, is September 1st, 1990, right? Been clean by the grace of God. 15 years, I'm looking at a brother with 20-some from my area. I'm not minimizing my time, but I'm thankful for the folk that were here before me that told me to get some time. So I tell you my clean date so that you know that that's something that's important if you're new, to get a clean date. That's how we get started. Get started on this journey, right? This workshop is relationships versus hostageship and battleships, right? And you know, a lot has happened. A lot has happened in just 24 hours. Let me say that. I am here completely alone, but not alone, right? I registered a long time ago for this convention. Plan to bring a few of my babies, right? That's newcomers. And they opted out, not whatever. We're talking about relationships here, right? And, you know, one of the beautiful things in developing a relationship with myself and Narcotics Anonymous via the steps has been that I don't need nobody to roll with, for real, because my life is still on the line. I know why I come 15 years later, because I don't consistently think well. Clear indication why they asked me to do this workshop, right? And it feels so good. So let me tell you, on February 17th, I had already... It came to me what I was going to share. I don't know if anybody goes through this shares, but I'm not talking about writing down on pen and paper. I'm talking about what God will do to you with yourself, to get you to start talking and having dialogue with yourself, to remind you of how you got here, what your purpose in being here is for, which I'm still seeking to find, and then to do that thing. Because I've done many things. I have basically evened out my using time. I used for 15 years. I'm from Newark. I got some buddies here that's from the hood. Right, Prince Street Projects crew. Right. And that's not where I was raised, but it's where I went. We're talking about hostageship, right? That's right where I went. Nobody delivered me. I walked there voluntarily. And somebody's projects and started smoking my little weed while somebody's kids was coming downstairs. And the disease, the way it is, so progressive, I did whatever I needed to do in the hallway whenever I needed to do it. I know where I come from. I know that God did not make any junk. But I tell you, I did not plan to wind up being a junkie. I just didn't plan it. But I will also stand here and tell you that I'm so thankful of all the experiences that I've had. Every last one of them. More of them painful than not, because they've aided me in this growing process. Right? Last night, a friend, you know, look, I'm looking out and I'm seeing some people, man, and when I came in here, I ain't had nothing. They fed me. Thank you, Alva. I was cute, but I ain't had no money. She had a home. I don't know how people kept homes in active addiction, but she had a home, she and her husband, and they fed me. Not no Popeye's chicken, but I mean, she could cook. So I'd show up, what, early Sunday, about 5:30. I just kind of showed up, hoping we was going to go to a meeting. And the reality was, I wanted some food because I was hungry. This disease don't care about none of this here on the outside. What I've gotten in touch with and being here, that all of this is part of my problem. It's a big part of my problem. It has been. It worked well in active addiction. But here in recovery, you all told me that this was about a new way of living. So all of that stuff that I had to work out there, it really don't work in here. I've tried it. I couldn't help but try it. That's all I knew. It didn't matter how educated I was. I brought in here who I was. So who was that person? Well, who did that young lady become? As a result of the decisions and choices and the associations that I made early on, even though my mother would say slick stuff like association, bring on assimilation. I was too young and knew what assimilation mean, right? You're a little hoodlum friends and they're going to be the worst of you, the devil of you yet. And, you know, it was like, let me just go and be on my way, right? How true. No one made me take my first hit of anything. I tried because I wanted to be accepted. I was raised in private schools for the majority of my life. And it was an opportunity when we moved to Newark to get ghettofied. They had block parties, huh? Block parties all the time. People was kicking. But I was talking proper and y'all ain't like me. My black family didn't like me. But when I started getting high, it was cool. We all just get stupid and die together, right? Right? By 17, clearly before I graduated from high school, I needed a program. I ain't know. I swear I think everyone in Newark gets high. There was probably a meeting around the corner somewhere, but I didn't know, right? And when I was 17, I was dealing with a man 40. It's called statutory rape. But he was a dope man, so it was okay. I won't tell if you won't tell. And I didn't tell. And, you know, I was on my way. I did many things that I said I wouldn't do, which many in here I know have said the same thing. You all told me, let me tell you, I got here when I was 29. And, you know, I used to get high with folk, and I would say stuff like, y'all too old to still be doing this. You know, by the time I'm 30, I'm going to have this stuff, like, out of me, right? And then freebasing came along, and it was all in me, right? I got here at 30, and I skipped a whole part of not a war story, but I'm talking about how great denial is. I got to the point where I like dope more than anything. I love to nod. So I thought. But I left that out. And I had you believe that that's all I did. And I'm saying this to say how progressive this disease is, and it's made me a bona fide witness of how hostile it is. Because I'll do whatever it tells me to do on any given day. I have the pictures of the tracks in my arms, and I forgot, hear me, for 3 years that I shot dope. I'm talking about clean. I got here at 29. But that's what denial do. But I'm the same sister that came in here, and when the sisters were sharing their hearts out, I would say, well, you know, I could count my men on my first hand. I'm going to tell you, building a relationship with Narcotics Anonymous and beginning the step process, we know what step it is. Hell, by the time I got to my fourth step, I realized I was 15 and my first hand was gone. I was 29 when I got here, right? I'm so thankful for the women that have nurtured me in this process. I had two dynamite sponsors. Janice raised me in recovery, right, my first 3 years. And, you know, back in the day, I know y'all say this is a program of suggestions, and I, you know, our literature says that. But I swear, William, and y'all ain't suggest nothing to us. They was like, get up in the front row, sit down, do this, do that, right? And I'm telling you, the only reason I didn't buck, because I thought all of y'all would get with them and beat me up. So they said, go, I went. I had people drag me in meetings. Hear me, we're talking about, you're hearing, I don't have a relationship with myself. Somebody got to drag me in here. Somebody got to drag me in here to save my life. I haven't gotten in touch with how desperate I had gotten. Did I not forget what Mr. Cubano said? Mommy, mommy, get down, get down. And he had me crawl over to him. There was dope up on the table. He said, you do this, you get this. I said, I do that, I get that. He said, yeah. I thought about it for a second or two. But there's always been that moment of clarity where I knew something about that was not right. I was looking too good that day to have to get all the way down on my knees and crawl all the way over to him to get a little bit of dope. But I did it. And that's important because when I came in here, I didn't want to have a relationship with myself. And I'm talking about, our literature says, and God knows I like to have it so that I don't misquote it, but our recovery begins when we begin to practice spiritual principles. Well, what are those? How are you going to have a liar get honest? That's the only way I'm going to recover. Right? Recovery. I'm telling you, thank God for a dictionary. You know, go back, get back what was lost. So what was lost? I started using it at 13. What do you mean what was lost? I got here at 29. My youth was lost. It was stripped of me due to the hostile nature of this disease. And there were times when I knew. But when those times kicked in that you're not living right, ain't doing right, man, the disease said, girl, go for it anyway. You're talking about battleship? Fighting who? I have been fighting myself for so long that I got lost in the midst of everything. So I realized today that I lost my soul. We lose our souls when we make transition. I lost my soul before I got here. I gave it to the dope boys. One bag at a time. One lick at a time. One whatever they said do. And in here, what's so amazing is that I've got to get honest about that so that I could be free. 13, I'm stripped as a young girl in the horrors of active addiction. 15 years, hard time. I did any and everything. I'm so thankful for September 1st, 1990, to just see a glimpse of hope here in Narcotics Anonymous. The message, so that we don't get confused about anything that I say, because I don't share for Narcotics Anonymous. I share my experience, strength, and hope, and what I've been through, is that any addict can stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. A new way. And I've been granted that way by the guide of a loving sponsor who directed me to the steps. She said, "You are too cute to die, honey," because I was cute, and I talk cute. So she started talking cute back at me. She said, "It's time, baby. Embrace this program like you embrace that man." I'm not cussing. She cussed. And she would just say the stuff to me like right to the core. She wasn't playing. She kicked off a meth in the room. She ain't had no time to be playing with me. She knew her life was on the line, and she was trying to get me to realize, like, come on, baby. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is how I keep what I have, by reaching out to you and letting you know that that don't work. That's why you here. Right? And it's so amazing that in the first three steps that I got to get with God before I got to get with me. There's something to that. I'm thankful for the step process, right? Now, I'm going to tell you, the most revealing thing for me was to do my fourth step. It took away a lot of the denial. It took away all of the cuteness, because now I got in touch where it came from. I'm talking about going back and addressing core relationships. I began to emulate at a young age stuff that I saw in my household. I'm in touch with that. My father left early, and the beatings began. He left, and my mother began beating me whenever she talked to him. Look, I was in denial about it for a long time. Once I finally got it out, I could say that I was abused. There was freedom in that. But an abused person always goes to the abuser. So it felt disloyal, because I'm a loyal sister. If I'm for you, I'm for you. And it felt disloyal to say something like that about my mother. But I had to get true about what was happening, because it was holding me back. He left. I thought he needed to be there to help raise me so that I'd have a man to emulate. But instead, I go after like my little fly mama, and I do just what she did. She didn't say she did it, but I know she had to do it. Treat people abusively. They fought all the time, and they sent me to treatment, to therapy. They fought every Friday and Saturday, and on Monday, little Hadia was off to the guy to tell him why the hell they so crazy in the household. So I was looking to escape, and when he left, we got poor immediately. Ain't had no money, ain't had some things, right? That was not going to happen. Right, I come from a long lineage of alcoholics. Let me say that. My family owns a bar, so I vowed never to be a drunk, because they would fight and fall out, pull out knives and all that. So I realized I was destined to be a dope fiend, right? And then I got a bunch of dope fiends in my family to say, "Oh, baby girl, you don't know what dope is. And dope was real dope in the 60s. And I'm like, "Well, damn, it did pretty good in the 80s. You know, well, what? I can't go back to the 60s, but I'm certainly here now, right? And it did its job on me, you know? But I look at that and I see how I come from a broken up home. So, of course, I'm broken and going to be stripped. I don't know how to be in anything committed. My father left. I saw him with many women. I vowed when I was young that I would just do that, because he wanted to have a son. Look, I was just in a meeting. Y'all got to get this tape. Neglected issues have babies. The bomb. And it set me off, because we're more alike than different, and it was a brother that was sharing. He was sharing a big part of my story, my life. And so was the female that was in there, right? He wanted a son. So I guess I act like the woman man that the man woman that he would have been. So I went through as many people as I could. It was my job. I had to do the man thing in the woman cute little body, because it worked. But it stopped working. It stopped working. So I was glad when I finally confessed and said, you know, I was abused. There was some freedom in that. Because I realized that in all my relationships, you have a sick person. Forget the other person. I can't show up complete, because there's nothing complete about me. I was 13 when I was stripped of my life. Not rationalizing or making anyone else whatever. I made choices, man, on my own to say, I don't need my mama, I don't need my father. I could do this, just mind your business, and I'll do my thing. Now, when I looked at my associations and the things that I got involved with, when I shared my fifth step, let me tell you. We was at a seven-step meeting on Thursday. It was really the first time that I realized how much God loved me. Because I know I should not be here. By my associations, the stuff I did, I shot dope with a brother out the same height. He OD'd, and I stand before you. There's not a God, a higher power. No, there is a much higher authority than me. I could never stop myself from using. And wouldn't let them call 911 for him because I needed to get a shot. My sponsor said, baby girl, stand in the mirror. And she told me to tell God everything. It wasn't a rewriting, a retalking of what I did. I am telling you, I lit 3 candles. I stood in the mirror. Hear me, family. Hear me, sisters. And I saw me for the first time. It says we admitted to God, to ourselves, and then another. And there was a moment, I'm going to tell you, after all the snotting and the it was incredible that I knew that God was in that bathroom with me. And he said, baby, it's going to be all right. You just don't do no more dope. It is going to be all right. There was a thing that came across me that was just a moment of complete peace. It was just a moment, right? And that's the thing that has set me off now in my recovery, because I've been here 15 years. There's some people out here, look, they made bets on me that she ain't going to go a week without having sex with somebody. Huh? Joyce, I know you in here because I saw you. She made some money off of me. It's called pimping. Right? They knew me. You guys knew me better than I knew myself. And I don't say that to boast about it. I'm telling you that I was operating off of what I had. I hadn't had the new information. So new babies, it took me 4 years because I wanted to show up at my 4th year anniversary, having done my 4th step, not realizing the impact that it was really going to have on me. Because I was going to see me, the true nature of who I really am. Not who I think I am, but who I really am. Right? And to know that God has been working with me because I'm saved. I'm here. I'm not talking about church. I'm talking about this program addresses spiritual matters. Huh? The solution is spiritual in nature, our literature says. Spiritual? I had to get all that junk out. It had to come out to be effectively used. There are people that stand here. This is no joke. I know that this is an opportunity to show up for life because there's somebody out there that's struggling. And they ain't got to be a new baby. Because I'm going to tell you what my struggle is. Right? So I'm clean doing stuff like I'm using. Or somebody might think that. Wasting time like I have another day. When the time is now. If you're sitting here, the time is now. They used to tell us we're the chosen ones. Have you ever looked up the word chosen? We special, not special ed. There is something for everyone that is sitting here at the sound of my voice to hear and know that there is something that you're to do. Because someone did not make it. And if you think you got a lot of time, Hadia, you have just lost your mind again. The time is right here. It's right now. This moment is precious. It's precious. Right? So the reality is I got to see me clean. I was a raving lunatic. Running around like a mad woman, right? And I'm so thankful because right behind my madness is always a step that says, but if you just come right here, sister, we come to him. We humbly, huh? Humbly. How do I do that? Well, when the pain get great enough, I tell you, bended knees is all I know. I've come to understand that a fetal position is not a bad position. It's a wonderful position because it's new growth time and opportunity time and exciting time. Right? So I look forward to that. Hear me. My dilemma is that I've come to recognize and realize through all that I've done and all the work, I have gone through the process of the 12 steps and I have found God in a way that I never thought I'd find God. I didn't go to church. I feel a sense of renewedness that I can do better because I'm doing better. Right? And I'm thinking, if I could leave somebody with anything, I have slept with enough folk that new baby sisters, we not going to get it on our backs. Now, I know someone's saying, but you just said you did it. Well, yeah, well, maybe so you don't have to do it. That's why people share from their heart. It's not the thing that's caused me great joy. It's caused me great pain. Because now I know I've been saved to do something. So my biggest dilemma right now is learning how to date. I've realized, hear me, not just now, but, you know, within the last 2 years, that I have operated from here down. That was the payoff. So that I don't owe you anything. Not so much just, ooh, slut, whore. I never equate those words with me. But it was the payoff. Did someone hear me? That's a way of thinking. The first step says we got to completely change the way we think, or we will use again. Not a maybe, might, sometime later. We will use again. So my dilemma is learning how to date, and not have sex. Not have sex. Hear me. I came here because I knew I was going to get what I needed to get, right? Sister told me yesterday, because she knows my dilemma. There's some women that have the same dilemma, but all of us just ain't talking about it. We just keep trying to hide around it. And if you're anything like me, you might have sex and still not use a condom. I've only had 6 abortions because I didn't have enough courage to protect myself out there. Would it not be a shame to come in here after shooting dope and doing all the stuff I did, HIV free, hep C free, to get infected? Oh, Hadia, do you hear yourself? Right? So she simply said, we were standing in this room. She said, well, Hadia, she said, stop. What a freaking concept. So I tell you, she said, baby, it's first you stop using dope. Stop. Stop. If you're doing something that's not bringing joy to you, stop. I got it from another addict. That's what we do, one addict to another. I don't have to be in hostage and in battle and fighting for my life all the time. God has a purpose for my life. I'm living better than I've ever lived. I'm doing things I've never done, and it's not about the things. I understand what grace is. I'm standing before you and shot dope out the same hype as another brother did, and he died. I was a freaking bum when I got here. And now I know what God's love is about. So if you're new, and even if you're not new, I send you light, I send you love, and I send you blessings for your healing on this day. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Hadia, for sharing. Then we're going to have our second speaker, and his name is Tim R.
Yeah, I'm an addict named Tim. They got me reading the speaker statement. The NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living in a program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there is the responsibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, remind us that NA members from other areas are willing to travel or drive, or walk long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at any meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. This is not necessary. It's not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories, because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. Yeah, I'm an addict named Tim. And I'm only here by God's grace and God's mercy. It's only through his grace that I stand here before you. I got to put my gum somewhere. This ain't school. I can't put it under the desk. Yeah, they get you. And they got a lot of NA people get you. Well, you see him put gum under the desk. I'm here to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I'm from the area of Staten Island in New York. My home group is Listen to Learn, meets every Saturday at 7:30 to help each other stay clean. I want to thank Hadia, got to say her name right, for carrying a message of spirit. I was feeling her spirit. That's what happens when you come in here, when you do some work, and you clear yourself up, and you don't think you all that. You start feeling somebody else's spirit. You start feeling somebody else's pain. You just start feeling what you know is right. You know what I mean? So you got to get right to feel right. So I'm not here to joke around. Came a long way. I tell you the story from the beginning to the end. I got clean November 15th, 1989. I haven't found the reason to use yet. I surrender to the truth that I can't drug successfully. I say drug because it is all inclusive to all mood and mind alternating substances. Right? So if you ain't got to say alcohol. You say you an addict, we know you deal with alcohol. We know you deal with mescaline. Some people that shot dope, some people that smoke crack. I did everything. Everything. I'm an addict. But like coming here, right? I want to thank, listen, I got some friends in here. Got some friends like that will do things for me sometimes I find impossible to do for myself. But my friend here, I ain't going to say his name because he could have robbed somebody years ago in here. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our tradition. But he got his car, you know, he got a nice car. He got that, you know, I said, listen, the place they told me to take 95 south to the Delaware, get on, route whatever, 1 south, and then you go coastal highway. He said, let's give me the address. He got that navigation thing. One of my other buddies that came with us, man, he said, yo, man, you got to do it this way here. He said, listen. We could talk about anything, but don't try to give me direction. I was telling you how the day started off, right? I'm like, wow. He got that thing and started talking. Right? He had the music on. The music cut down. One more mile, make a left. I said, oh, shit. You start acting like a kid. That thing turned music, the volume turns down. He said, yeah, volume turns down. He got all this electric shit in his ear. Got the phone. He got the phone plug. His phone here. He's like, yeah, put his music on. I said, this guy's in his heaven. This is his thing. But I'm just talking about how you gain relationships in Narcotics Anonymous. And let me tell you what happened to me this morning. Because I got a 12-step prayer guide. And I shared it with them, and I shared it at home. I was sitting there. Y'all know what you do in the morning sometimes. I sit there. I'm regulated. I'm just telling you like it is. See, y'all want to hear the truth now. Listen, y'all can't listen. Don't be shaking your head if you're shot dope and sat in the shooting gallery looking at me like that. Listen. But what happened, what happened was like, I opened up my meditation thing and it said, Amazing Grace. And I read what I read, right? It's an NA, it's a meditation, And then I usually go to I usually just go to the table of contents, to the date in the month, and it tells you it was page 73107. And what I turned to by choice was what I'm supposed to read for the day. So if you don't think you belong here, if you don't think you like got held up by God, listen, you're in the right place.
Now, they gave me this topic. I'm trying to justify the topic. Right? I said, it's the relationship meeting. I got so much good shit going on. But like she was sharing, listen, you get the topic 2 months beforehand, check it, shit starts happening. Shit just started happening. My daughter calling me with shit. My wife talking shit. My mother talking shit. But here it is, I'm trying to like gear up to come share. But then that's when the hostage ship part came in. Because when you feed into something that you can't fix or control, you become a hostage. And like when you do feed into it, when you know you ain't supposed to be in there, you're in a battle. Because you're trying to fix something. You forgot all about the first step. That you're powerless over your addiction. You forgot all about indifference or intolerance towards spiritual principles. Some of us pass over that with a minimum of concern. The word tolerance, when you tolerant, that means you respect one's opinions, ideas, and actions. That's what the dictionary says. People, places, and things. When you're indifferent, you got trouble. Listen, a dope fiend couldn't stay in the crack house if they wasn't smoking crack. There's an indifference there. You don't listen. I'm talking about when you're out there. Huh? Listen, if you want to update it, if you ain't a baller, you can't hang out with ballers. You consider yourself a baller. You can't hang out. They ain't going to let you hang out. Not when you're clean. Hey, what's that? Hey, man, what's happening, baby? You know what I'm saying? I'm chilling. You don't get them guys, the NA guys. But listen. I need to get in, like, cut to the chase, because I don't want that five-minute thing to come out on me. I used unsuccessfully for 20 years. I came in Narcotics Anonymous, and the first relationship I gained was with a sponsor. I had a sponsor that, like, didn't take me to meetings, because in my area in Staten Island, when I came around, it was only 6 meetings. So people were all together. Everybody was mostly together. But like my sponsor always threw the first step out me when I called him about whatever. He says, you're powerless, but you're not helpless and hopeless. But as time goes on, you stay here long enough. Yeah, you could, all the step work. You get some spiritual principles. I find out that you start working the program when some shit start happening. See, when you start getting some experiences in your life and some things start happening, you will run to the program or you're going to use. Right? So, like, this topic really, like, touched home with me because sometimes, you know, the first addiction I had was control. In relationships with the opposite sex, I got addicted to the beginning. You know the beginning? Oh, well, you know, the movies and shit. You know, it wasn't McDonald's back then. You go to like, hey, check it out, Chock Full of Nuts. Those places like that, you know, the Woolworths. But you get, I got stuck on the beginning. So like, you know, you get stuck on the beginning because like growing up, my father died when I was 2. I have 2 older brothers. I'm from the Brownsville section of Brooklyn. I was brought up on like welfare cheese, Spam, peanut butter, getting online in 1966 with the shopping cart. I come from an era where it's a family of secrets. They don't tell you shit. Ain't nothing going on. Hey, how did such and such die? Don't worry about it. We going to the funeral. Put your shit on. Let's go. There was no 1-800 numbers and all that for child abuse. It was extension cord beatings, octagon soap. That's where I come from. No communication, no that stuff. Let's go. Shut up. Go to school. Don't say nothing. Don't let this place come. They better not call me at the school talking this and talking that. Take me out of my work because my mother cleaned somebody else's house to buy us a new pair of shoes. Let me start right at mama. Mama cool now. Me and mama cool because I'm clean. Me and mama cool. Me and mama is cool. My mother, I just celebrated her birthday Thursday, April 6th. She was 87 years old. Right? I asked on her birthday, I said, how long have we been living in this apartment? She got the same phone number since 1953. Yeah, some of you young people don't know. It used to be like DI-5. Yeah, PE-6 and all that. Yeah, that's it. She said, we've been here since 53. Same apartment. See? No education. The point I'm trying to make is you can... Listen, my mother back when I was using said you should need to be shot by shit and killed for stinking. You was the dumbest college man I ever met in my life. I never met a man like you. Because of the using. The relationship took a long time. Listen, seven step. Let me... Hey. I don't want that 5 minute sucker to come out on me. I'm going right to the seventh step. Right? Nope, I'm going to the eighth step. Because it's, listen, to free yourself up from not being on a battleship, you got to have some weapons. In this program, you got to be equipped with weapons because things are going to happen. People are going to come up at you. You may be having a great day. And somebody may say something to you. And I was telling somebody that the other day. People don't mean push buttons no more. They are the technicians to the elevator. They know how you are. They check you out. Some people just check you out because jealousy and envy. They just check you out. They just don't like the way you living and what's going on with you because they don't understand the light. They don't understand where you came from and the way you live. You know, and then you might have said, well, I go there and, hey, man, we got some things, you know, but they just look at you. You got to stay away from them. You can't save everybody, right? Listen, it says making a list and becoming willing may be difficult unless we overcome our resentments. I had to overcome the resentment that my mother never told me about my father and how he died. I had to overcome the resentment that, like, you know, why we ain't got what everybody else got. I didn't understand, like, you don't need much to have happiness. My mother, like, trusts me big time. You know, I took her down to Pennsylvania last week. My nephew got baptized. He's 1 year old. But, like, I'm just talking about, like, we got that type of relationship. Like, I got the keys to her. We got that type of relationship, and I got a brother, he got all these PhDs, he's a college professor, he's a chaplain of the school, he is a smart guy. But I'm going to confess, he got the dumbest common sense I've met in my life. I'm being honest with you, I love him, but just something about him. You know, when you get clean, you see people. Yeah. You start seeing these people, your family. You definitely see family because when you go to events, when I go to events with family, man, listen, I'm not holding myself hostage with these fools. I'm not. I go outside. Listen, I ain't got to deal with none of that talk because some people don't believe you're clean. You know, your Uncle Bubba don't believe it. I still got to check the Kool-Aid and all that shit because you got a family member. They're gonna throw that shit in there because you ain't acting like you used to. You understand I'm talking about? That type of family, I gotta watch them. Not like, it's not excessively watch them, but I know them. When you know something, you know not to deal. Listen, stay away. I take the message real serious. Shorty tells me, don't cross over there. They had a shootout over there. I'm not crossing that way. I don't get caught up. He's short. He's young. He don't know what he's talking about. He know who he's talking to. Nah. Sure, God sent Shorty to say, don't cross there. All that old. Listen. So me and Moms is cool. I need to tell you that because she trusts me more with her affairs now than my brother. Right? Listen, let me update you. Right? Because, listen, I need a relationship with doctors. In 92, I was diagnosed with the HIV virus. Never shot dope. Heterosexual. What I used to share, I stuck my thing everywhere else. Huh? I might not got it out there. I might have got it in here. I ain't shared that in a long time. See, I've been off the... I don't get on the circuit thing. I ain't in all this circuit shit. I got a life. I got to live. I can't share this without living. That's me. I got a life. I go to meeting. You see me at meeting? I'm at meetings. I show up. I reach out to the newcomer, but I can't be going to Virginia one week, over here the next week, over here. I can't do it. My pockets are tight. I'm living like economically now, but like, listen, man, gotta have a relationship with the doctor. I had to find out, being diagnosed, listen, makes no difference. I got it. So what? I got it. Now what? People judge me. People judge. He's probably this. He's that. He's this. He's that. Let them judge me, but I bet I gotta stay focused because I need to live. Since 92, thank God, no medication. That's God. That's all God. That's all God. Listen, I go places. I went to see a doctor that this so-called famous basketball player went to see. She said, we need to diagnose you. You need to evaluate. Is something wrong? They want to, like, you know, do experiment on me. How is it? Because I work a hard job. I work sanitation in New York City. I'm out in the cold. I'm picking up, I'm doing 13 tons of garbage a day. I'm working. Guys at my job think I'm crazy because they don't understand when you got God in it. Like, they don't understand. They say, this guy, every time the pat wagon comes, you know, the urine truck for the job, they got my name on the list. I just be smiling. Be like, oh, man. And then I look at the cats that's nervous as hell. They be like, oh, shit, oh, man, you know? But the point I'm trying to make is I keep a relationship with the doctors. See, because I need a doctor that's going to treat me, not what I got. And I enforce that, not in a strong way, but in a loving and caring way. Listen, when you have compassion for yourself, people will have compassion for you. That's what that's all about. When you got acceptance for yourself, makes no difference. If you accept me, the choice is, do I accept you? Listen, that's the when it's selflessness comes in. You're not selfish, you're selflessness. So listen, doctors are cool with me. I'm cool. I'm going for a full checkup and I let the doctors know what I got. Listen, just like in the beginning, they told us this program prep you. When you go to the doctor, let them know you're recovering at it. See, so be clean and add that to let the doctor know my condition, and I don't let them talk to me anyway. So let's move on. Because relationships get a little bigger, better, right? I like the 8th step. Because it's like making that list, you got to get out the way. And I don't think anything would have been possible without this. It says, we are responsible for our actions. When we make amends because we owe them, we must let go of our resentments and focus on the parts that are conflicted in our lives. My little girl is 11. She lives with her mama in Brooklyn. Listen, she is getting sassy. You know, that hair shit, the nails, the way she talked, just all that shit there. Now, the disease mind says, what's going on in their household? I just think it. I don't come out no more. Before I used to come out, let me tell you what happened. Because I used to, yeah, she was doing school. She went to junior high school. Now they got them junior high schools that start in the 6th grade. So it's an adjustment for her. You know, I'm feeling that. I'm feeling adjustment. And like, you know, I used to yell. Don't work. I don't hear that. Don't work. So when you're in touch with God and you're sharing all this stuff, I started talking to her real calm now. I'm telling you the truth. I said, how was school today? Boring. Because she got caught playing hooky in October. Now, it told me that she ain't that slick because she was right across the street in the park from the school. Her mother called me up. Your daughter playing hooky. They got it down. The truant officers got it down here. I said, leave her ass there for a while. Let her soak. Let her think. You know? But what happened was, as a result of that, because I got a good relationship with my daughter. And this is all going to wind in. I got a good relationship with her. And I started talking to her calm the past 2 months. And she I think she's a maid because I talked to her mother. I'm talking about having a relationship with a woman I had resentments over. And I had to be like, listen, I got a daughter. This is very important. So I needed to, like, put all that other stuff to the side. It ain't about her man. I ain't got nothing to come with that. Listen, so she told me that Selena says you're not yelling at her anymore. She thinks something's wrong with you. She asked me, is daddy going to therapy? Swear to God. So like that relationship is good. I'm going to share this and shut up because in 2004, I got married for the first time, right? Yeah. Clap loud. She may want to hear the tape. But look, I got married by meeting her on a blind date. Blind date, dating. Right? Dating. Listen, my method is when I used to go to a woman's house, and when I went to her house, because I didn't go over there the first time after the first date, it took about 3 weeks to go over there, I don't take off my shoes. Because after a meal, if I take off my shoes, I'm falling asleep. She said, you ain't staying? No. I said to myself, I got to do this different. Because she's a Jew. She's a Jew. She does things that, like, I don't understand. I left her. I said, something wrong. I swear to God, I left her and went back to a battleship. Because you always go back when you got self-pity and guilt. So I went back to the battleship. Let me tell you what happened real quick. I went there. I was sitting at Grant's tomb with her in the car. I went and got me a Subway sandwich. Me and her talking to battleship. We talking for a while. I had the music on in the car. Listen. I had the music on. I'm ready to go. The car wouldn't start. I'm out there with the cables and shit waving. I'm looking at her. I said, I don't belong here. I went back. Got married September 10th, 2004. Grateful. My wife met my daughter's mother. See, I'm talking about like relationships so you don't become a hostage, so you don't have the battle. It says in page 96 that God would do for you what you find impossible to do for yourself. You better recognize who you cry to when using that foxhole prayer, because some of us get funky, come up in here, don't want to reach out to the newcomer, talking about right. The person that keeps coming in and out, don't want to do no service, right. Just think it's all about them. I got a job, I got a house, it's on me, I'm all this and all that, and boy, my God, he will snatch it. So I do what I can do because as things show, some people know my story. Check it out. How much time I got? 2 minutes?
A minute.
Okay, real quick. Due to the evidence of having good communication, because my daughter has a brother. I raised him since he was two. He comes to me and says, we need a high school basketball coach. I go, listen, check it out. I go there. Because that's having a relationship with him after I'm not there. Huh? Not who, because of what's going on. No, you got to clear that up for me to feel free and be free. Listen, so I go. He says, the athletic director wants to talk to you. Hey, when you go somewhere for the first time, you got to represent. You got to, like, put some shit on. You can't go in there with those sweatsuits and shit talking about it because you want to be a coach. Man, I went in there. I put my little knit on, my gaiters. I went up in there. Boy, I was like this. Hey. The guy said, I'm here for the job. He said, you got the job. I like the way you look. I like the way you carry yourself. I like the way you are. Because some people know when you got God in your life. Because they know when God is walking with you. They know. Now the new relationship, before I become a hostage and before it becomes a battle, is dealing with these kids. on this varsity basketball team in New York City. Yo, coach, you feeling me? Now they tell him, you feeling me, coach? I let him know, don't come to my practice with do-rags. So I had to get my certified substitute teaching license. I had to take first aid, AED, all that stuff. Listen, as a result, listen, don't come in here with no textbooks. You better have a book bag. Don't tell me you got a piece of paper. I don't play. All season, I got progress reports. They don't like it. I don't need you. I'm here to teach you the fundamentals of life plus the fundamentals of basketball. It's a rough world out here. I ain't telling my story yet. They may tell me to lock the locker room. But I let them know I used to be in some places that you don't need to be. You understand? So, like, it's about freeing yourself up. And the way you free yourself up is that you get honest with you. And in order for you to get honest with you, you got to get honest with somebody. See? And if you get honest with God, He'll free you so abundantly, you won't have an idea. So you got to stay vigilant because the blessing may pass you by. It just may pass you by. So in closing, if you're new, learn how to become your own best friend. All right? Have fun. And I hope you don't become the person you want to become, but the person your God intended for you to be. That's what I'm sharing.